Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, I appreciate very much the positive feedback that you have given me for this short sermon series that we're in called The Path to Peace. And I hope that they've been helpful. That's what I always hope to do in my preaching is bring you things that are helpful from God's Word. And when we obey what Jesus teaches us, the promises that He gives to us are very true in our lives. And so we are looking at some specific steps that we can take on the path to peace. And in that vein, this last week was one of my favorite weeks of the entire year. I survived the summer looking forward to the day, the week, when the temperatures drop and fall just reminds me that, yes, I am coming again and cooler weather is on the way. And that means the world to me because, like I said, for me, I just survive summertime. I am not a content person in the summertime. You can ask my wife. Some people get depressed in February when it's dark and cold. I get depressed in August when it's sunny and hot. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm not a content person during the summertime. And so I really do not want to preach this sermon. I'm just being honest with you this morning. I didn't want to preach this sermon. I don't want to talk about contentment. I am not content to talk about contentment. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is listen in this morning. Because I am not going to be speaking to you, I'm going to be speaking to me. Because I need to hear what the Lord has to say. Because He promises that He has brought us peace. And in Philippians chapter 4, He gives us some very specific things that we can do to walk down this path of peace. Amen to that. Thank you so much to the Lord Jesus for giving us peace, perfect peace. And it is well with our soul because of Him. And the peace that we have in our life comes to us from Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the source of our peace. Our peace is not come from circumstances. Our peace doesn't come from people. Our peace doesn't come from having life arranged according to our preferences. Our peace comes because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that is good and right in your life is because of Him. And so as we pursue Him, as we press into Him, as we do the things that He has called us to do, God says to us, you will have more peace. It's a promise that He makes, but it has a premise along with it. As we obey Jesus, as we do the things that He teaches us in Scripture, the promises of God are fulfilled in our life. And there's a promise and a premise in Philippians chapter 4. We've been looking at it for several weeks now. And Philippians 4, verse 7 says, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. If you do this, and so we have looked at the things that Paul, through the Holy Spirit, writes to us in Philippians chapter 4. If you have your outline and you want to follow along, we're just going to review very quickly. We first of all said from Philippians chapter 4 that something we need to do to experience the peace of Jesus is refuse to worry about anything. How you been doing on that? Anybody been doing a little bit better? If you have, that's good. That's good because I hope we have testimonies to say, hey, look, I was doing this and Jesus has brought me more peace. Refuse to worry about anything. Never worry about anything, Paul says. Number two is talk to God about everything. And what we said about this is that anytime we remove something from our life, we have to fill it with something from God. And so as we remove worry from our life, we fill it with prayer. And we refuse to worry, and so we worship. And we refuse to panic, and so we pray. And we can pray to God, who is our Father, about everything. We can talk to Him about everything. Number three from Philippians chapter 4 is to thank God in all things. When we talk to God, we say our pleases and our thank yous. We ask Him for things. We're taught to do that over and over in Scripture. But let's don't ever forget to be the one who comes back and says, thank you. And so we thank God in all things. And number four, we think about good things. That beautiful verse from Philippians 4, verse 8. Fill your minds with those things that are true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and beautiful and respected. If anything is excellent or if anything is worthy of honor, think about those things. And so we think about good things. We fill our mind with good things. We turn off the bad things. We turn off the things that rob us of our peace. And instead, we take these steps and we walk down the path of peace. And the fifth step this morning is that we learn to be content in all things. We learn to be content in all things. And I say we learn because that's how Paul says it. Verses 11 and 12. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know how to live on almost nothing. Or I know how to live with everything. I've learned the secret of contentment in every situation, whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether I have more than I need or when I don't have enough. Paul learned contentment. And I told you, I have a hard time with contentment. I've lived most of my life with what I call a holy discontent. I always want things to be different. I always want things to be better. I always want things to be more. I push and I work and I strive thinking that I am going to change everything. And I came across a phrase this week that I really like, and I've already referenced it this morning. And that is, this phrase was used when things are not arranged according to your preferences. And the spirit of our age has ingrained in us that one of our rights is that life should be according to our preferences. And so I can go to Sirius XM and I don't have to listen to any of that garbage you listen to. I get to listen to country music. And not just country music, but old country music and Southern gospel music. Because see, I get to arrange those things in my drive to and from the farm according to my preferences. And if you go online and you look at things, then the smart world that's out there who's listening to every single thing you say and notice as everything you watch and click on, they just keep narrowing your world down so that you see more and more and more of what is according to your preference. It's just the way it's wired into us. It's already human nature. It's already human nature. It's just wired into us in the culture that we live in. And I want the world to be arranged according to my preferences. And so I've got to learn contentment if I'm going to have peace. Because the reality is, the world is not arranged according to my preferences. It's not arranged according to your preferences. And contentment gets such a bad rap. But it's one of these fundamental steps that the Lord gives us if we're going to live at peace while we are in this world. And usually when we talk about contentment, we talk about things. We talk about how much we have or how much we don't have. We talk about how much we compare what we have to what other people have. And that is a very appropriate way to talk about contentment. Paul does that in this very verse. But I want to talk this morning more specifically about contentment in our circumstances. And very specifically, contentment in our COVID circumstances. Because I'm not content with COVID. I'm even more not content with everything that has been thrown at us that's a reaction to COVID. I'm just not content with it. And I have spent much of the last, how many months has it been, just frustrated and pushing against and determining that I can create my own reality and it just won't exist in my world. And I'm going to do, you know, I've done all kinds of things that have contributed to me continuing to not be content. Continuing to want to orchestrate and arrange even COVID according to my preferences. And let's just be honest with ourselves. We're living in a hard season. And we're not the first and we're not the last to live in a hard season. But for most of us, this is the hardest season that Americans have lived in several generations. And it's hard to be content. And it's a time where more than ever, we need to learn to be content, to be at peace. It's a godly man that I really love and trust who shared with me recently that he had been praying about this. And he had been seeking God's wisdom about this. And he said that through that prayer and through that search, God reminded him of something. God reminded him of some experiences that he had had when he lived on the coast. He lived on the beach or in a town that was on the beach. And God reminded him that there's a phenomenon that takes place when you're at the beach and when you're out in the water and when you're enjoying the ocean. That every year on any given beach, there are a handful of people, I think is probably the number, I'm not 100% sure, but every year there are some number of people who die because of this phenomenon, and it's called a riptide. And I don't know if you've ever been caught in one. I haven't, but after he told me about it and told me about this thing that God reminded him of, I kind of went and looked. And what a riptide does is you'll just be out in the ocean. There'll be all kinds of people around you. You're just enjoying yourself, doing whatever it is you do as the waves come in. And before you know it, without any warning, without anything at all of a sudden you realize you are being sucked out into the ocean, away from the shore. And not necessarily other folks around you, because these things can just happen on a very narrow basis. And all of a sudden, you get caught in this tide that is pulling you away from safety and away from where you're supposed to be and away from the people that you are with. And most people who die in a riptide die because they begin to fight it. And they swim against it with all their might. And they push and they struggle and they go under and they come back up and they keep swimming until they literally just wear themselves out and they drowned. That's how people die most often in a riptide. But what my friend told me is that if you know about them and you know how they work, then you know the key to surviving and getting through, and that is just to go with it. Literally just to float in it. Because it's not on its own necessarily going to take you under. It's just going to take you out. And it never lasts very long. And as quickly as it started, it stops and it kicks you to the side. And you float parallel to the shore. And you're out of the tide. And you can easily make your way back in. He said, if you want to survive it, you have to go with it. That's the thing that the Lord reminded him of as he prayed about how he was supposed to be dealing with everything that's going on in our world right now. And I think that's an analogy, a picture of contentment. Because there are forces that are larger than us. There are forces at work that are stronger than us. And we get caught up in them. And we don't know how long they're going to last, and we don't know what the outcome is going to be. And so if you're like me, you start struggling, and you start pushing, and you start fighting, and you wear yourself out. But the lesson of contentment says there is some measure of wisdom and knowledge that just knows when to go with the flow. Trusting that there is one who is greater than the forces that have you in their control. There is one who is sovereign and above all other powers and forces. And so we don't float. We're not content helplessly, throwing our arms up and giving up. We're resting in the hands and in the arms of the one who cares for us who gave his life for us, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and who is over all. And so we are content until the force runs itself out and we can make our way back to shore and to safety and to life. I think it's such a good analogy. But it's something we have to learn. And that's good news, by the way. It's something we can learn. It's something I can learn. Paul said, I learned to do that. I learned to be content. And think about how many times in Paul's life he was caught up in forces that were beyond him. Think of how many times in Paul's life circumstances conspired to take Paul in a direction that he was not intending to go. And if there was ever a man, it seems to me, from what I read about him, who was a type A, driven, forceful, powerful, gonna barge ahead and gonna fight whatever's in the way and is gonna accomplish his mission. I mean, even at the very end of his life, when he's imprisoned, he's dreaming about getting to Spain. I mean, Paul never stopped, but yet Paul learned contentment. If Paul can learn it, I can learn it. And we can learn it. And I think Paul has been telling us how he learned it. I think if we were able to say, Paul, how did you learn contentment? He would say, you know what? I learned to refuse to worry about anything. And I learned to talk to God about everything. And I learned to thank God for all things. And I learned to think about good things. I think that's how Paul would say that he learned contentment. That daily practice of realizing the world's not arranged according to my preferences, and that's probably good. Because it is ultimately arranged according to his preferences. And I know that's better. And even though there are forces at work that are against him, they don't stir him up at all. They don't thwart him at all. They don't keep him from doing what he is going to do at all. And so I can learn just to rest. But I do it by daily taking these steps and daily experiencing the peace of God. I came across a video this week. It's from the Mayo Clinic. Now, from what I can understand, the Mayo Clinic is a place I can trust, a place that, in terms of the medical world and the scientific community, I mean, these folks are on the cutting edge and are doing good things. And there was a video about peace and contentment. And in the video, they talked about how your brain is wired and all the trillions of junctions and intersections that are in your brain, and how what we do affects that and how all that affects our peace and our contentment. And what they said was, even in the video, they said that what they have learned about how to have peace and contentment scientifically and physically as we're wired, it was almost, folks, there were five of them. And it was almost word for word the five things we've been talking about from Philippians chapter 4. And even in the video, they said that spiritual men from the past, that was their language, knew these things and had taught them. I think that was their way of acknowledging God in his ways, in his peace. And they just said science is just already learned. Science is learning and discovering what God already knows and what he's already taught us. So whether you want to take it from science or want to take it from the Lord, the message is the same. There are just some daily practices that we can do that will help us experience peace, that will help our thoughts, our minds be at rest, stayed on Jesus. That's a phrase that comes from Isaiah, by the way, and I love it. So, I want to ask you to stand with me. Because one of the most quoted verses in the Bible is the very next verse in Philippians chapter 4. the verse that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that means I can learn contentment. And I can find peace through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who commands me. Through Christ who I want to obey. And he gives me the strength to obey what he commands. And then he gives the blessing. He gives it all. And so it's through Christ that we're going to experience this. So I just want you to say with me these things that are going to come up on the screen. Would you say with me, I can worry about nothing through Christ who strengthens me. I can pray about everything through Christ who strengthens me. I can thank God in all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can think about good things through Christ who strengthens me. And I can be content in all things through Christ who strengthens me.